Please be seated. I welcome you to live service today. The special edition, it's Family and Relationship Sunday. We call it FAR, F-A-R, FAR, Family and Relationship Sunday, because one way you can go far in life is by your relationship. Relationship can make a man to go far, actually. If you are alone, there is a limit to how far you can go. There is a limit to how far you can go. A man that is alone, after he's done, then nobody to succeed him. Nobody. Please, don't just desire to run fast in life. Run with people. Run with people so that when you are down, you can have somebody to pull you up. So that when you are done, you can have somebody to hand over to. That is why your relationship matters. It will take you far. It will make you to live and to outlive. So today, you know, this month we are talking about the working power of God in us. And so far, both in our teaching since last Sunday and all the daily podcasts, we realize that we are his workmanship, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the power of God is available in us. And this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. So today, and I remember clearly last week we were talking about one important subject. And, you know, it was talking about... Who can remind us the topic for last week? I want to be sure we are getting it. We are in the same... Sorry, ma'am? No, last week, just last Sunday. Okay, last Sunday. Anyone? How to undo your troubled mind. Okay. Actually, I titled it understanding, but she called it how to. That's good. Understanding your troubled mind, or how to undo your troubled mind, or why that trouble is there. There is a purpose for it. And please, if you are not under that teaching or you need to listen to it again, just go right on the church website. And of course, that will lead you to the YouTube channel. And I remember I was sharing from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where scripture says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit which we have received, which is Holy Spirit, works in three dimensions. One, it works as a power. Two, it works as love. And three, it works as sound mind, or what we also look at as self-control. And I was saying that if you are going to come out of whatever trouble you are going through, you need to go through these three, because you must seek solution. And the way to seek solution is, one, you seek solution from God, you seek solution from men, and then you look inward. So with power, you can get solution from God. With love, you can get solution through others. Through others, there is solution. Whatever you are going through, some people have gone through before, and they are fine. So don't break yourself. Amen. I mean, if some people have gone through what they are going through, and their bones were not broken, why should you break your bone? Why? Why should you think the whole world is crashing because of what you are going through? No, nothing is crashing. But the problem is when you remain alone. And you see, that is one thing devil always do. When we are going through stuff, he wants to ensure that you remain alone. That's what leads people to depression.
when they are alone. I mean, look at the life of Elijah. Great man, called on fire, did great powerful thing. He displayed the power dimension of the Spirit. But you see, when it comes to the love dimension and to the sound mind direction, it wasn't there. Why God still reserved 7,000? He said he's alone. Don't be alone. So at the end of the day, after executing hundreds of prophets of Baals, he could not stand one woman. Bible says he went for his life. He ran away. He separated his servant from himself. Then he was left alone. Then the next thing, he was asking, Father, God, it is enough. I choose to die. Can you say to yourself, I choose to live? Say it again. Say, I choose to live. I will not die before my time. No devil will take my life before my time. Say amen. So, on this very verse of the Word of God, I'm going to take off today, and I'll be sharing with us on what I titled Power to Love. Power to love. So we don't just base the work or the workings of the Holy Spirit just to the power dimension of love or power dimension alone. But that we should understand that it also work as love power. This same Spirit gives us power to love the unlovable. And that's my objective today. How do you love people that are unlovable? You need power to love the unlovable. You need power to love those who persecute you. You need power to love those you are living for and they don't see it. Are you getting me? You need power to love them. And that is why we are praying as we are singing that hymn, I want to love like Jesus. You know, children have this ability to love. It is natural for children to love. The hearts of children has not mature to malice. You know, adult has a way of growing so well and grow into all manners of work of the flesh, not with children. And again, the other part of children is that they have a way of, because they are children, they have a way of being childish. So Jesus said, let them come to me. Now, there must be a reason why the disciples said, no. This ministry is not to the children. Jesus doesn't need them. But Jesus said, no, why? Theirs is the kingdom. So I'm praying for you that may you be able to see the unlovables like children. So that your heart is so enlarged to accommodate them like Jesus did. Did you get me? Jesus accommodated the childish ones, called the children. The disciples might have looked at them and said, they will dirty the clothes of Jesus. They will do this. They will do that. They will mess up. So may God give you understanding to be able to relate with the unlovable ones, people who are hard to manage, to see them as children, even when they mess up things. And then you are not throwing them away. You are not throwing away that relationship. Did you get it now? That's where we are going to today. Let's read a bit of scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So we are beginning from, I think I've shared with you now 2 Timothy 1:7. Please don't forget 2 Timothy 1:7. Write it down. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. So those are the three ways the Spirit, Holy Spirit works. It works as power, spirit, power. Then it works as love, and then sound mind or self-control, ability to control yourself. You see, before we go to Ephesians chapter 1, now, can you give me that scripture on the screen? 2 Timothy 1:7. And then we will read, and then we will reverse read. Did you get that? We will read, and then we will read reversely. Now, everybody look at it. Let's read 1, 2, go. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it talks about power, spirit, love, and sound mind. So look at it. I want to take it backward now. When you have a sound mind, or you can control yourself, you have this working of Holy Spirit such that you can control yourself, then it means the power spirit, the power love, or the love, the power to love. Yes, the power to love is there. Because now you can self-control yourself, which is also called sound mind. I take it back. Are you getting it? So with that, with sound mind or self-control, then you have power of love at work in your life, and then you will be able to experience the power dimension of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? And except that power is there, I tell you, nobody can be what God has ordained them to be in life. Nobody. I find out that the people Jesus came to die for, they are the one that killed him. True of us. Hello, did you hear what I said? True of us. They persecuted him. Am I correct? They gang up against him. Now we need to look at it. How did Jesus manage the whole thing? Imagine Jesus also retaliates. No wonder he came and said, no. If the law of Moses tells you an eye for an eye. No, I've not come for an eye for an eye. I'm taking you into a perfection. Praise God. And the perfection is love those that persecute you. Forget eye for an eye. Everybody will become blind. I don't need you all to be blind. I need you all to see. I need some of you who can mature enough to manage others. And then display my love and my power. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. We need to run now. Verse 15. Ephesians 1, 15. So Paul there was thanking God for the Ephesians church. And there he was saying that, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love unto the saints. He talks about, one, their faith to God and their love to others. Faith to God, love to others. Faith to God, love to others. So you can't just say you have faith in God when you don't love others. It's not balance. It's not. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, that's the next scripture I'm sharing, or the third one now, and then I'm going to put together all these thoughts from the scriptures. So the scripture says, if someone said, I love God, or I have faith in God, because when you have faith in God, you are simply saying you love God. So 1 John 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and I hate my brother, or hate his brother, the Bible says, come on, that fellow is a liar. That fellow is a liar. Are we together? If you say you love God, or you have faith in God, and you will hate your brother, scripture says you are a liar. Now, who is a liar? And who is the father of all liars? Who did the Bible call that? Devil. So if somebody says he loves God and he hates others, who does that fellow belong to? Devil. Very simple. But how do we escape the work of the devil? How do we not indirectly be fathered by the devil? Let's read on. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And you see, what a big question. So the answer to that is, you just have to receive power to love. You see, power to love is power to be all that God wants you to be. Write it down. Power to love is power to become all that God wants you to be. And then there is this long scripture. Time will not permit us to read. Matthew 25. I think we should read a bit of that scripture. It's good if all you can see is what from the scripture. I think that is fine. Matthew 25 from verse 34. It's a long scripture, but let's read. Please write it down and let's read Matthew 25 from verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was stranger. You took me in naked. You clothed me. I was sick. You visited me. I was in prison. You came to me. Then shall the righteous answer them, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, thirsty, gave thee water or drink? When saw we thee a stranger and we took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least, please note that in your Bible, one of the least, you know, one of the most difficult people to love are the least of the people. Listen, why do politicians find it difficult to love the masses? It's because the masses are the least. So they circulate the wealth of the nation just among themselves. And why they are doing that? They are showing love. Is that not? That's what they say they are showing. So it's always difficult to love the least. People that you know that after you have done all things for them, they don't have the power to return it. They don't have what it takes. So Jesus said, if you can do it for the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto who, please? Unto me. Wow. So whatever you do to men, who have you done it to God? Unto God. Let's read on. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me. You are cursed into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angel. Look at what will bring some people to hell. For I was hungered, verse 42. You gave me no meat. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was a stranger. Ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then shall they also answer them, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hunger, thirsty, strange, naked, sick, in prison, and we did not minister unto you? Minister unto you. So to love is to minister. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me. You just miss me. And this shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous to everlasting life. So power to love will give you all that God wants you to be, both on heart and in heaven. You see, today, scripture talk about Jesus now sitting on the right hand of God. What got him that seat? His love. What got Jesus a seat at the right hand of God is not because he's the Son of God. It is love to the people that God loves. My number one thoughts. Love power is needed to release God's power and to do God's purpose. Love power is needed to release God's power and to do God's purpose. So John 3:16 says, this is the reason God so loved the world. This is the reason God gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes will not perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that the world come to an everlasting life. So we saw there God's power releasing, being released rather, through love. And then we saw God's purpose from the beginning being made manifest. God was able to redeem man by love. God was able to win the devil by love. God was able to have his original purpose being fulfilled by love. In love to others, the power of God is made manifest. In love to others, God's power is manifest. You need power to love in order to experience the power of love. I tell you, there is power of love. It brings increase. When the Bible says two are better than one, it's talking about power of love. It brings larger capacity. One which is 1,000, two which is 10,000. He's talking about power of love. There is so much power generated in love. So you can call it unity of faith. But you see, you need that power, power to love, in order to experience power of love. When husband and wife come together, they reproduce. Why? There is love. Let me move to point number two. So you get that. In point number one, that love power is needed. You need the power of love to release the power of God, to do God's purpose. Number two now. When there is love, then we will have good works. So number two says, love matures to good works. Love matures to good works. And let me here draw our attention
to the story in Luke chapter 10, verse 29, the story of the Good Samaritan from verse 29. Luke 10 from verse 29. So in verse 29, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered him, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way a priest came. And when he saw him, the wounded, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite passed by on the other side. Verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had power to love. What is power to love? Mercy. What is power to love? Compassion. He had compassion on him. What did he do? He went to him and bound him up in his wound. Bound up his wound, pouring him oil and wine, comforting him, and then set him on his own beast. Even though he's bleeding blood, but he put him in his own car and took him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host or the doctor and said to him, take care of him. With this amount, take care of him. And whatsoever thou sparest more, we are wicked. Quietly in your heart, you don't know. When you can easily overlook the needs of others, when you can easily ignore the wounded, you see somebody dying and you are giving excuses why you should ignore that fellow. Is wickedness. Excuse me, if you cannot live a life of love, then you are living a life of this. And you are not representing Jesus. You are misrepresenting him. Listen, people don't have time to read Bible, but they want to read those of us who go to church, who carry the Bible. So that your life can become, through your life, they are reading the Bible. So if you cannot live what you are reading, that would be a great disappointment to God. So love matures to good works. So you need this power to love so that it can mature you to good works. So the Good Samaritan's love made him to do the will of God. In fact, it made Jesus to show him as an example. What a life. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a Levite. He just understood kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle.
When you don't love, you miss opportunity to be a blessing. You miss opportunity to glorify God. But then, to love is not an easy task. You need power to love. You need power to love. That's why we are saying, I want to be like Jesus. That hymn that says, he will always be with his Father. I think starts at 2. He was frequent with the Father, praying, generating power to love. How do you love those who are persecuting you? Excuse me, have you gone through persecution before? Have you gone through lies before? I mean, people gang up against you, lie against you. And then scripture is saying you should love your enemy. My friend, it's not something in human strength. You need power for it. You need power in a relationship, husband and wife, in parenting, even among ourselves as brethren. I know when you look at Jesus' attention and even what Paul was saying, he was saying, thank God for your faith to God and your love to the saints. So what we are talking about here, love we are talking about here, is even, I'm going to narrow it down, is even among our close relationships, family ties, among the brethren. Because this understanding is not there, so devil will say, what is the essence of telling your brethren your secret? And then they will expose you. And then they will do all manners of things against you. Is it not better to have relationship, a close relationship with unbelievers? Is that not what happened? It should not be. It should not be. Nothing can make an unbeliever better than a believer for you. Nothing. Is lack of understanding. You are not close with your spouse, but you are close with somebody else. It will expose you. It will expose and open your family, your marriage to attacks. Close that gap. So we need love that will mature us to good works. Let's go to point number 3. My thoughts, number 3. Now, we have come to a critical point. Because we are so close. You know, Yoruba has a way of saying that when we are so close, like teeth and tongue, what happened? We bite one another. But that doesn't mean we should cut off. It's only a conflict of interest. So my thought number 3 is that handle conflict of interest with love. Undo conflict of interest with love. There are times when there is conflict of interest between you and your loved ones, between you and people you're supposed to save. In one way or the other, all of us, we are a savior to somebody. Amen. a savior to somebody. So at times there may be a conflict of interest. At that moment, you need the strength of God. You need to be like Jesus and do what Jesus did. In Matthew 26, look at what Jesus did. While he was being persecuted and being judged, in 63, he did an amazing thing. And we need to look at that and borrow strength from there. Matthew 26, 63. But Jesus, okay, look at it, verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answer thou nothing. What is it which these witnesses against thee? I mean, this witness against thee, verse 63. But Jesus, he held his peace. What did he do, please? Talk to me. He held his peace. Do you understand that? You are being persecuted for what you didn't do. He held his peace. How? How? Now, I need you to realize that that is humanly impossible. Again, is humanly impossible. They are lying against you. They raise false accusations against you. He held his peace. What? But Jesus knew, if he did not talk here, the whole work will be destroyed. He understood the battle is not against him and the people. It's against him and the devil. So when there is conflict of interest between you and your loved ones, listen, it's not between you and your loved ones. It's actually between you and the devil. At that moment, mind the word that come out of your tongue. Don't release bomb that will scatter that relationship. Hold your mouth. At that point, you don't need any self-defense. Ask for God's defense. God, strengthen me not to mess up here. And you know, at the end of the day, by the time Jesus is going to say something, look at verse 64. Jesus said, you have said it. Nevertheless, as I say unto you, hereafter, you will see Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power. In other words, Jesus was saying, you can't mess me up. I have no answer for you. I know my goal. Please know your goal and focus there. Whether in your relationship with your boss, with your lady landlord, with brethren and the church, in your family, you need these people who are close to you. Those close relationships, you need it for strength. You need it for destiny fulfillment. You need them for the days of evil. You need them for the days of joy. Don't cut off. But then, what we're asking for today is power to love. Like Jesus. Let's look at what Jesus did again. How did he undo conflict of interest? We have seen quietness here. And as we see other scripture, you will realize that all Jesus used all through to undo conflict of interest is quietness. That was all he used all through. Haven't prayed. Isaiah 30:15 will say, in quietness and confidence is your strength. So quietness is a strength. It's a strength. Okay, let's see. Isaiah 53. Of course, in John 12, from verse 37 to 42 or 43, is establishing Isaiah 53. So, but let's see Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. Isaiah 53. Are you being blessed, please? Are you getting something? Look at Isaiah 53. In fact, verse 1, scripture was saying, who has believed our report? There are times people you are sent to help to save, they don't believe you. This is what scripture was saying about Jesus here. They don't believe you. You are doing everything. You are saying, this man, stop misbehaving like this. Don't do this. Don't do probably to your husband, probably to your wife, probably to your son. And all devil wanted you to do is, I don't want to see you. Just walk away out of my life. You are disturbing me. That's what devil wants. And then he can strike. So there are moments when there will be conflict of interest, when you will be misunderstood. Your good works will be misunderstood. Your report will not be believed. Who has believed our report? Then he went on to say, to whom, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, when people don't know, you are the arm of the Lord to save them. So should I say, okay, I'm telling this child, don't go there. If you go there, you will fall into that pit. And you are trying to save the child, and the child is crying. The child is crying. And people don't understand why you are telling that child not to go there. And to everybody, including the child and everybody that you are saying, leave the child, leave the child. They did not see what you are saying. How many of you understand what we are talking about? It has happened to you in your relationship, family relationship, friendship. Yeah. Do you understand? Until that thing you are trying to avoid happen, may you not lose your loved ones untimely in Jesus' name. That's what the devil wanted. Who had believed our report? And then look at what Jesus did. Okay, look at verse 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Can we read together the next thing Jesus did? What was Jesus' response to his oppression and affliction? Talk to me. What did he do? Have you seen it in your Bible? Verse 7. Look at it. If you don't have your Bible, look at the screen. Isaiah 53, verse 7 now. Verse 7, media. Okay, so can we all read it together? One, two, go. He was oppressed, yes. He was afflicted, stop. So, there was an oppression of Jesus. Imagine, the whole Savior of the world himself. He was oppressed. God was afflicted. Because Jesus was God. He was afflicted. Please don't think yourself too high. And listen, this thing do happen to us, preachers, pastors, and leaders. After all I have did for them. You know, pastors sees a lot. People come, when they came, they were nothing. And then you labored and labored and labored on them. And at the end of the day, when the fellow want to pay back with ungratefulness. So at that point, as a pastor, as a leader, as a parent, after laboring on your child, and then that boy got married, you know, while you are laboring on that child, the father has gone somewhere to another woman, or is not responsible while you were raising those children. And then the child became something after all your labor, as a mother, and then the child got married to a woman, a strange woman, who took him away. You know, if you will remember all the pains you went through as a mother, you can misbehave. As a leader, you can misbehave. I say, who are you? Who are you? When I was doing this and doing that and doing that. But you see, as a pastor and as a leader, I've come to tell myself, in the first place, I have no power to lift my own finger if God did not help me. I cannot heal a mosquito if God did not enable. So if God used me by his grace to be a blessing to anyone, yes, I pray that my harvest no one else will take. And you say amen for me. But if at the end of the day, I had a payback, you know, I was paid with ungratefulness, may I not think too high of myself to now think I meet somebody who they are? Because at that time, I may enter into the trap of the devil. Think the same thing for yourself. I did this for this fellow. I did it for that fellow. He's an ungrateful man. He is this. He is that. Please don't think too high of yourself. Whatever you do or you did to others, it is because you were given power to do it. At that moment, what you only have or had is conflict of interest. Are you getting me? By the time the person realizes what happened, you will reunite. So don't break the door. Don't break the relationship. So Jesus understood this. When he was oppressed, when he was afflicted, he did not open his mouth. Because if he should, he will curse them. Excuse me. Except he has gotten strength. What do you say about those? I mean, what do you say to those who are afflicting you? Kneeling you. It's cursed. One day. I think about 2 months ago. A man of God, one of the old timers, was preaching powerful message at a minister's conference in the city of Ibadan. Powerful. Then he got to a point. You know, then he released one abusive word. I say, Ezra, it's a message. You have scattered the whole message. You have scattered the whole message. What you can do in your time of affliction and oppression. What do you do, please? Quiet. Particularly when you have conflict of interests with others. Whether with strangers, whether with your family, with your boss, with your parents, with your spouse, with brethren in the church. This is what Jesus did. Let's read further. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. That's an emphasis. That was how he was able to overcome. And he was able to finish the work. And when you go to John chapter 12 from verse 37, the same thing was repeated. And gradually, let's go there and then I'll begin to close. Power to love. That's what we are looking at today. John chapter 12, from verse 37. Look at it, what Jesus did. So he's re-emphasizing here. We have this scripture is emphasizing Isaiah 53. So from verse 37 now. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which is speak, Lord, who had believed our report, and to whom had the hand of the Lord revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and should be healed. So when people do whatever they do against you, it is because their eyes has been blinded. So as spouse, one of our prayers should be that God open the eyes of my spouse, my wife, my husband, my children, that they will see what I'm saying. Let's read on. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of synagogue. Can you see reasons behind people's attitude at times? For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus came and said, he that believe on me, believe not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I have come a light into the world, that whosoever believe on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. Yes, I want us to get to this point before we close. I judge him not, if anyone don't believe me, for I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me and received not my word, hath one to judge him. Let God judge him. Please get to this point. Don't judge others. In whatever you do, don't be judgmental. Leave all things to God. But you see, you have to love to get this point. Let me talk, mention the last point and then we'll close. Finally, you need to realize this. The power to love will enable you to do all things as unto God. Power to love will enable you to do all things as unto God. In other words, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, do all things as unto God, not unto men. So, in Matthew 25, this is what Jesus was saying. That long scripture we read the other time from verse 34. That whatever you do to others, you have done to me. So all you do to others, you do to God. So here in Colossians 3:23, scripture says, look at it as we close. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. That whatever I do to others is unto God. Listen, sir, man, even what you do as a parent to your children, who do you do it to, please? Unto God. If you take care of your spouse, who are you doing it to? Unto God. If you take care of the brethren, take care of the needy, whatever you do to your boss is as unto God. Whatever you do to the least of the people, the weak ones, you have done it unto God. Please, let's rise to our feet. So today we've talked about the fact that love power is needed to release God's power and God's purpose, and to do God's purpose. So God's purpose for the Samaritan is to take care of the wound of the wounded. And with the power of love available in him, he didn't miss that. He uses his time. He releases his substances to take care of the wounded. Your love to others will take something from you. Your love to others will certainly take something from you. And you must be willing to release. But you cannot release except you are forced to release yourself to God. And listen, this is how to grow in good works. This is how to increase in grace. You see, I'm praying to God that our ministry will grow so well, we'll be able to take care of the need of other ministries. Can you please say amen for me? Because it's a kingdom call. So it's not a call that this church should fight or contend or show up against this church. No. No. So can you beg God today? Okay, let me finish my recap and then we'll pray. Point number two, love mature to good works. Point number three, you handle conflict of interest with what, please? With love. And point number four says, do all things as unto God. So can you beg God who has brought this word to you? I know this word must have healed somebody. Can you give God praise for sending his word? Can you exalt the Lord? Can you give him praise? Can you give him praise? Can you say, thank you, Jesus, for your word to me today? Thank you that I know this word has healed me. I know this word will help me to improve and get better in my relationship. Thank you that this word is going to teach me how to undo conflict of interest with love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, can you begin to ask for the release of power of love? Father, I receive power to love, your power to love, the same power you had to love the world, to give your only begotten son. I receive that same power. I receive that same power. Come on, this is time to open your mouth and pray. This is not time to be quiet. I receive power to love. I receive power to love, to love, to love, to love, to love the unlovable, to do your will. I receive power to love and to bring down the power of God. I receive power to love for the release of the power of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You see, to everyone Jesus ministered to, either opening of eyes, healing their body, or whatever, the first thing is he had compassion on them. So compassion is simply saying love is at work. So without the love at work, compassion will not be released. So we realize that the power of God is released out of his mercy or compassion, which is a product of the love of God. So there is a way the love of God in your life is going to make you, is going to bring you into the real you. It's going to bring about the release of the grace of God upon your life. So can you beg God and say, Father, release upon me today power to love. Go ahead and pray. Power to love. Power to love. Power to love. I want to be like Jesus. Power to love. Power to love. Power to love. Power to love. I receive it. Release upon me, God, power to love. Power to love. Power to love. Power to love. Can you pray? If at this moment there are issues in your home, can you pray, God, give me power to love my wife, to love my husband, to love my children. Come and pray for yourself and get healed. That your wound will be healed Many are sick today. That sickness is as a result of the fact that there is no power to love. Lord, I receive power to love. I receive power to love and to be healed right here. You might be the only one here in this world. The other fellow you had issues with might not be here. So you that you are hearing the truth, if you can receive strength to do what is right, then your healing begins. I receive power to love. 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 To love others. To love others. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bring our prayer to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.